Take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 19 this morning. Acts chapter 19, and we're going to work our way here. The first 20 verses of this chapter, some things I think will be a help to you. And the Bible teaches us and gives us clarity that there is a revival at the conclusion of this passage of Scripture, but the pathway to the revival is not one that we choose. And I want to read this to you, and I'll trust the Lord to use His Word in a very special way. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I love the conclusion of this passage of Scripture. The Bible says that so, as a result of all the happenings that you've just read about, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Boy, I love that word prevailed. I like when you prevail. I like when you win. I like when you get on top of the situation. The Bible says that the word of God in this setting grew and prevailed. There was a victory for God's people. Reminds me of the great song, Victory in Jesus. They grew and prevailed, but it didn't just start with victory and end with victory. It wasn't like a ball game where you get the lead at the first quarter and hold it throughout the rest of the game. As a matter of fact, there were moments and there were difficulties and there were struggles all through this text that caused folks, no doubt, to wonder, how are we going to deal with this? But through it all, God caused His word to grow and prevail. There are really 3 settings here in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that God uses in order for His word to prevail is doctrinal confusion. The Apostle Paul meets up with a group of disciples. These were people who were doing their best, the best they knew how, to follow Jesus specifically followed John the Baptist, and quite frankly, they were confused. They were confused about some things, and they really hadn't heard the full gospel message that Jesus Christ needed to be their Savior. God uses doctrinal confusion in this passage of Scripture. God uses hard-hearted church members in this passage of Scripture. Paul, once again, doing everything he could to present the truth and help people, he faced opposition from the religious establishment, and their hearts were hardened. But God used this anyway, and in the course of 2 years and 3 months, through the faithful teaching and preaching of God's Word, literally, Asia heard the gospel. Thirdly, in this passage of Scripture, we meet up with a group of people. The Bible calls them vagabond Jews. They're a group of nomadic type Jews. They're bounced from here to here, and they like to touch in sorcery. And they'd seen what Paul had done. I mean, Paul had this, God had given this a special apostolic power for that time. And they're like, man, we want a piece of this action. And they figured out how they could manipulate folks into believing that they had it. Until they met up with a real live demon one day. The story goes like this. This specific Jew was going, and he was declaring Jesus over the, and the Jesus that Paul preached over the demons. And a demon speaks up and says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who in the world are you? And we see that these unusual stories, if you take them one by one, you can come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. But if you put them all together, you understand that God wants us to understand that through difficulty and through trouble and through trials, confusion and burdens and even lengths of time, in this setting it was 2 years and 3 months, God is on the throne and God is working, and mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. If God's people persist in standing with the truth of God's word and resting in the power of God, then we understand that we can have and expect and enjoy the product of what only God can produce. We come to the conclusion of this passage of Scripture. We're going to start at the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning. And when we come here, we see the product of this passage of Scripture. I want you to sit with me. It's beautiful what God does. Verse 17, the Bible says, "This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. As a product of these events, the name of Jesus was magnified. Folks, it's wonderful when Jesus is magnified. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. We must preach Christ, present Jesus. And as a product of these difficult moments, guess what they got? The name of Jesus Christ was magnified. That's good. The Bible continues. The Scripture says, verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Here's another thing that happened. There was a bunch of folks here as in this season. It was easy. Things were good. But as a result of the difficulty, the Bible says that there was a bunch of disciples, people who were Christians, people who believed on the Lord. There were a bunch of folks who, believing, came, confessed. You know what they did? They publicly confessed that we're children of God. We're saved. We believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and they showed their deeds. You know what they did? They began to serve Jesus out in the open. That's good, is it not? Scripture continues in verse 19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. What else happened to this group of people? They got convicted about sin in their lives. There was wickedness that had become and began to be prominent and prevalent in their lives. And they got convicted about the sin that was in their lives. And God moved in their hearts to get rid of the things that were wrong and bad. The Bible says that they had many used curious arts. They had their things that were demonic and those things that were anti-Christ. And they'd used curious arts. And the Bible says they brought their books together and burned them. It's good. God did a great work. And the scripture concludes in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The product of this passage is revival. And quite frankly, I'm praying that God will revive our hearts. I'm praying that God will give us a renewed zeal to stand up for Christ. I'm praying that God will encourage us in the midst of difficulty. The product of this passage is victory. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The pathway through this passage is one that's not necessarily easy, but every step of the way they were met with the blessing of God. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The first thing I want you to pay attention to is this. Number one, God used doctrinal confusion. You say, how can God use doctrinal confusion? Well, it just boils down to the same truth that we talk about often, but all things work together for good. You see, anything the devil wants to use to destroy people, God has the ability and will and can use that to bring glory to himself and help you. So the first thing that we see, God uses doctrinal confusion. When we come to the first few verses of this passage of Scripture, we see a story that is often misapplied. I'll just tell you. There's a lot of folks who take this passage of Scripture, these seven verses, and they attempt to teach that there is a second blessing, a second filling of the Holy Ghost. Like you get saved, but then later somehow you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and in order to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have to speak in tongues. But I can take this passage of Scripture, and I want to explain to you, I have no problem with those people. A lot of them are my friends. But the truth is, that's not what this passage teaches at all. The Scripture, that we're dealing with a problem. We're dealing with the fact that there were a group of people here that were well-intentioned, but they were not complete in their understanding of the Scriptures. Now, we're just going to back up and look at this doctrinal confusion because I want to help you with it, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Now, if we're going to understand what's going on here, we've got to back up to the previous chapter, chapter number 18, and remember a man named Apollos. You remember Apollos? Now, I want you to know something. Apollos was a charismatic creature. I mean, he had charisma coming out of his ears. He was powerful, and he was exciting, and he was dedicated, and he had fire in his soul. The Bible says it like this. And a certain, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. What kind of guy was he? Was he dead as a doorknob? No. Man, he was alive. You'd have liked him. You'd have listened to what he had to say because he had such a charismatic nature about him. The Bible says this man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. You see him? Man, this guy was full of umph, but he wasn't full of the spirit. He was fervent in his spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. What did Apollos knew? Apollos knew that I was a Jew and I was trying to obey the works of the law, and in my heart I knew I was lying because I couldn't please God, because every time I tried to keep the Ten Commandments I was breaking them, and the best I knew how I couldn't do it. So when I heard John the Baptist preach, repent, just admit that you're a sinner and you cannot satisfy the law, he said, I heard John the Baptist preach that, and I said, hallelujah, amen, that's me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And he was baptized, buried into the death of his sins. John's baptism. But John preached. And he said, it's not about me. There comes one after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to latch. But Apollos only knew of John's baptism. And this man was full of charisma, and he preached with fervency. But I want you to know something. Apollos, as well as he preached John's baptism and the returning and the realization that I'm a sinner, as well as he preached that, his sermon was incomplete. And quite frankly, he was incomplete because he'd never put his trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for his soul's salvation. And so a couple in their home, in their lowly home, not very charismatic, not outspoken, not loudmouths, not people who you'd think could lay on hands and give some type of holy oomph out of their core and spirit. Aquila and Priscilla, a couple. What'd they do? When Apollos finished preaching his very good message, they said, come over to the house. Let's have some donuts, Brother David, and talk about this. And the Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos and explained to him more perfectly Jesus Christ. Apollos heard the gospel that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for their sins, that Jesus was the one coming after John the Baptist, and that he didn't have to die in his trespasses. It didn't just end when he repented that he was a sinner. It wasn't over there. He heard that Jesus Christ paid the price for his sins and would give him everlasting life. And I want you to know something. When Apollos was preaching the baptism of John, he was powerful. But he was a man that just had a head full of knowledge and began to understand. He was powerful and he was charismatic. But when he got saved, the next sermon he preached, it was full of the Holy Spirit of God, because he was preaching, because he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and Jesus changed his life. It wasn't a second blessing. It wasn't speaking in tongues that changed Apollos. It was, he got saved. And with that same theme, now we're talking about Apollos here. He said, the Bible says, verse 28 of chapter 18, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What was the emphasis of his message? Get the Holy Ghost, get the Holy Ghost. Get Jesus Christ and you'll have the Holy Ghost. He convinced with the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. The Bible says, in the same idea, the same context, in verse number 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, just because someone is a disciple doesn't mean that they're saved. Now, when you see this word, don't assume that because the Bible calls them a disciple, a follower, that they're saved. I can testify that my wife was a disciple, follower of Christ, doing the best she knew how, but for years and years, but she didn't get saved until she was, I think, 23. Was she not a disciple of Christ before that? Absolutely, yes. But she didn't understand, and she hadn't been saved yet. I was a disciple of Christ before I ever got saved. From the time I was just a wee tot, I was singing Bible songs that exalted Christ, and I believed them to the nth degree, and I was a disciple of Christ, but I wasn't saved until I was 8. When I asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive my sins and be my Savior. So what we have here is we have a group of disciples. They're in the same shape as Apollos. Was Apollos a disciple? Absolutely. But Apollos didn't understand yet. So the scripture says in verse 2, Paul speaking to this group of 12 disciples, he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, Paul could have done this a different way, but we should learn from Paul because he uses a very good method. If I accuse you, well, let's just do it like this. On many occasions, I've sat in my office with people that in my heart, I felt like they weren't saved. They had a profession of faith. They had made some efforts along the way, but I felt in my heart that they weren't saved. Now, it's not my job to judge their souls, but I have to use wisdom, especially if I believe in my heart that this person may not be saved. So you sit down in my office with me, and you're that person, and I look at you and say, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to hell. That person's going to be like, you're right, preacher, I love you. That's not how I would deal with that. The wise way to deal with that is, let's talk about it a minute. Give me some evidences why you're a child of God. The questions lead to the same conclusion, but it's the better way to deal with someone who doesn't completely understand. So what does the Apostle Paul do? He sees these disciples. Apollos is in the mind of the author of this book of the Scripture. Apollos is on the heart of the Holy Ghost as he leads Luke to write this. As we think about Apollos and his incomplete understanding and the fact that he just got saved, then we see this group of 12 disciples. What do they need to know? They need to know about Jesus too. So Paul says, I know how to get there. He says, tell me something, boys. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, John, he talked about the Holy Ghost, so that we understand that even the baptism they had in John was not, they didn't have a good understanding of what was going on. And the Bible says, he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Huh. Then Paul said, well, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now, was Paul preaching a message to these disciples that say, hey, look, here's what I want you to know. You need a second blessing. You need to speak in tongues. You need to be slain in the Spirit to prove that you are full of the Holy Ghost. That's not what Paul's asking to teach them at all. He says, you got baptized into the doctrine and the idea of John the Baptist, and it is incomplete because John said, I'm baptizing you because you're repenting and admitting that you're sinners, but there's one coming after me. He said, what John was pointing to was the fact that Christ Jesus was your hope. Verse 5, he says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I believe with all my heart these men got saved. They received, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result of being saved, Holy Ghost-filled Christians, the power of God rested on them, and they worked in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are seasons in all of our lives where we can sense the moving the Spirit of God on us, and God uses us. It's wonderful. This was a tough situation, wasn't it? How would you like to be dealing with this passage of Scripture this morning? How would you like to be having a conversation with these 12 well-meaning people who have not completely understood the gospel? It's tough, but I want you to know what happened. God used doctrinal confusion to further the gospel and bring results. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We shouldn't be afraid of disagreements. We shouldn't be afraid of uncertainty. We shouldn't be angry at people who do not believe like we do. As a matter of fact, we should let the situations that are tough lead us to yearn to know more about God and more about God's Word. Unfortunately, there are lots of people who have used this passage of Scripture to somehow teach that you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's a second blessing. And there's been a lot of shy, not charismatic in their nature type people who've heard this teaching, and they're just too honest to try to put on a show and act like they got the Holy Ghost, that they leave empty, confused, feeling left out by God. But the bottom line is, if you're here today and you're saved by grace through faith, you've got the Holy Ghost of God dwelling inside of you, and he's promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he is a faithful God. God used this doctrinal confusion to help these 12 people understand that we are not complete in John's baptism, but we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. God used doctrinal confusion. Number two, God used a hard-hearted church. Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it? God used a hard-hearted church. Look what the scripture says, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now here's what happens. Paul's found a synagogue. That was his pattern. That's what he did. He's found a synagogue to teach. And for 3 months, the people soaked it up or put up with it. But finally, after 3 months, there's a group of hard-hearted people who do not want to hear the truth. They do not want to hear the truth. And guess what Paul had to deal with? He had to deal with a bunch of hard-hearted folks who would not submit to the Word of God. So, what's he have to do? He has to leave. You think, oh man, how in the world are we going to ever make it? If we lose this section of people, if we lose this influence in this church, how are we going to ever make it? The Bible teaches us that he separated and went to the school of Tyrannus and preached and taught the Word of God. And the Bible says that they continued by the space of 2 years so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the Word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. What did God do? God used a hard-hearted church to further the gospel. You know what we must do? It's so easy. Isn't it easy to look around and see people that give you a hard time or see people who are not heeding the Word of God, the truth of God, folks who have ideas that are just completely foreign to the Word of God? Isn't it difficult and discouraging? You flip through Facebook and you see all kinds of ideas that you know aren't pleasing to the Lord. And you know the people and it breaks your heart. Your reaction is mad or sad or bitter or angry. Or your reaction to opposition is, I can't stand that. Or I can't stand them. Both of which is wrong. You know what God did? God used a group of hard-hearted people to move God's people to a place where they could go to the ends of the earth. By the way, don't allow things that upset you about hard-hearted people to cause you to no longer serve the Lord. What did Paul do? Those stinking Jews at the synagogue, they hurt my feelings. I'm not ever talking to them again. I'm not ever teaching the Word again. If that's how I'm going to be treated, I'm not ever going back to church. That's not what Paul did. You know what Paul did? He continued. You know what God did? God used a hard-hearted church to bring revival. God used doctrinal confusion. God used a hard-hearted church. God even uses false prophets to bring revival. Look at the scripture says in verse number 11. Now, the Bible says God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, look, you take this passage of scripture out of its context, and you begin to think, if you're a preacher, you begin to think, what's wrong with me? Because I can't do special miracles. The last time I hit somebody in the forehead, they didn't get healed. They got a black eye. You know, it just didn't work for me. So you look at this and you think, so maybe there's something wrong with me. I'm a preacher. I don't do special miracles. It says that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Can you see this? I mean, it's just simple. It happened. It's real. The Apostle Paul wiped the sweat of his brow, which I've got some right now, and sent it out. They must not have been worried about corona in those days, for sure. He sent that handkerchief out, and if that handkerchief touched boils on people's body, they would heal. And I think, my spit ain't that holy. I must not be doing something right. It's not true at all. You've got to put it in its context. So the Bible just says, now look, God was using the Apostle Paul in some amazing ways. And the writer here says, I want you to know, I mean, some amazing ways. He could take a sweat-ridden rag and send it across the country, and people get healed from sickness and evil spirits. It's amazing what the Apostle Paul was able to do. God did it. He says, then, verse number 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews. There's a certain group of Jews, vagabonds. They moved around a lot. They remind me of a traveling circus. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. They were full of, they tried to stir up demons all the time. They were the people that today put ghost shows on TV. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. They said, let's try this Jesus thing. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That they were trying this Jesus thing. Let's try to see if we can get demons to come out of people by calling on Jesus. The Bible says that there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, of the chief priest, which did so. Seven brothers, they did the same thing. The Bible says the evil spirit, so they've got this person full of that's got a demon, and they call out in Jesus' name. And they put on this ghost show. They say, come see, we're going to cast out a demon. And they cry out in the Jesus of Paul, come out of him. Now they said, now Paul's doing real work. But these seven sons of Siva, they put on a show, and here's what happened. Verse number 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. Now here's the guy. They just did their hocus pocus, even used the name of Jesus. And the man that they're hocus pocusing, I think that's in the Bible, hocus pocusing. Look what happens to him. He leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You see that? This demon-possessed guy mopped the floor with the false prophets. At first I think it's funny, and then I'm like, oh my, that's awful. But then I look a little bit further and I see what God did. Look what the scripture says. Verse 17. And this, the fight, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and the fear and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. What happened? God used false prophets. God used hard-hearted church members. God used doctrinal confusion. And by the way, every burden that we ever bear, God has the ability to use it to bring glory and honor to himself. What was the product? The word of God grew and prevailed. Folks got saved. Quiet Christians came out and said, hey, I'm a child of God, and God began to use them. God used it, and revival happened. There was a purging of evil from the lives of the people, and mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What did God do? God used some really tough times to do an amazing work. You know what I'm encouraged about? As tough as it may get, God has a plan. And he loves me, and he loves you, and he's working all things together for our good. Paul dealt with all this. Can you imagine poor Paul? Man, he had so much grief along the way, but so much blessing. You can't help but think about and understand more clearly why Paul said, well, I would rather glory in my afflictions. Why could he say that? Because he'd seen affliction after affliction after affliction after affliction produce revival, produce what was right, produce God moving and working in the hearts of real people. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Folks, don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. As a matter of fact, when you begin to get heavy-hearted, glory in the fact that God is working all things together for good. And he will use these difficult moments to cause his word to not only grow and prevail, but to be victorious. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hallelujah. Let's pray.